Thank you for all those announcements. You guys, there's just so many exciting things happening in the life of the body. It's exciting to be a part of, isn't it? Well, great singing this morning and lifting you, the Lord up in songs of praise. I just love singing with the church. And it really is great to be here with all of you this morning. As you know, Pastor Josh is still recovering from his sinus surgery. He's doing well from what I hear, but he's still recovering. So we're grateful for a successful surgery for him, but we continue to pray for his ongoing recovery. And as you probably know, Pastor Bill was originally scheduled to preach this morning, but he's not feeling well this week, so he called me up Friday morning, asked if I would step in for him, and so you guys are stuck with me for a second week. We're sending in the scrubs, but this morning we're going to be continuing in our Church 101 series as we slowly continue to make our way through this series. And today, the question that we're going to be asking as we continue to talk about the church and its practices is, why do we preach? We're going to be preaching about preaching this morning. And so would you bow your heads with me as we prepare to open God's word? Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your church, Lord, for the joy it is to be a part of the life of the body, to see all the phenomenal and thriving ministries that are going on, whether it be men's ministry or Sunday school or women's ministry or youth ministry. Lord, there's so many things happening, and it's just so exciting to see how you're moving. Lord God, we're grateful for the gift of your church. We're grateful for the gift of your word. Lord, as we prepare to open it this morning, would you speak to our hearts? Through your Holy Spirit, God, would you convict us and use our time to transform us more into the image of Christ. But Lord, most of all, we're thankful for the gift of your Son. Thank you for Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're here. That's why we sing. That's why we preach the word. That's what we're all about. That's why we gather. And so Lord God, thank you for saving us. Would you bless our time and would it be honoring to you this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said a moment ago, we are diving back into our Church 101 series this morning, and we're going to be talking about preaching. So the question we're asking this morning is, when the church gathers, when we come together, why do we preach? Why is preaching a part of the services? What should be an appropriate response to a sermon when we hear a sermon? What makes a good sermon? What makes a bad sermon? As a congregant, someone who listens to sermons, you probably have had a moment where you've kind of asked these questions and you've wondered, why do we do this? What's the point of preaching in the first place? Now, before I dive any further, I want to give you kind of a disclaimer. Kind of like last week, we're going to be hopping all over the Bible this morning. And so if you look in your sermon notes sheet, I have all the references we're going to be looking at there. So you can kind of give yourself a heads up as to where we're going, because we'll be flipping around quite a bit this morning. But again, the question we're looking at is, why do we preach? Why is preaching a part of our church gatherings? And it's an interesting question. It really is, because what we have happening whenever somebody preaches from the Word of God is we see a finite, simple person who is trying to communicate the infinite and eternal Word of God to other finite and simple people. And so every time we preach, not only are there opportunities for the Holy Spirit to move, to speak to our hearts and to convict us, but there's also opportunities for hurt feelings. There's also opportunities for misunderstandings. There's opportunities for error and for mistakes. And so why do we preach? Why do we gather together and listen to the Word of God or give a sermon about the Word of God? Why is it that ever since the church began in Acts chapter 2, you can go ahead and turn there, by the way. We're going to look at verse 42 in just a moment. But why is it that ever since the beginning, the church has been preaching and listening to sermons? Because this is something the church has done since it was founded. It's not anything new. In fact, if you look all the way back to the beginning, right after the Holy Spirit came on those who believe in Jesus, they began gathering week after week. And they would gather in small house churches and they would sing songs. And they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they would fellowship with one another. And they would hear and respond to the word. Acts 2:42, it says this: "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." So week after week, they're gathering. They gathered in homes, in small house churches, and someone would open up the word of God and they would preach to the believers who were gathered in that church because they were part of the church. And we see this happening all throughout the book of Acts. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, there's a really great example of this. Paul is in a city called Troas, and he's preaching in one of these house churches. And it must have been a house that's on a second or third or maybe even higher level. And it says that Paul, he keeps on preaching until midnight. Now, there's this man, or young boy, Eutychus, and who's listening to this sermon. And as the night goes on, Eutychus begins to get tired, and he happens to be sleeping in the windowsill, or he falls asleep, I should say, in the windowsill of this house where Paul's preaching. And sometime after he falls asleep, he actually falls out of the window onto the street below, and Eutychus dies. So Paul goes out into the street down below, and he resurrects Eutychus. The two of them go back upstairs, and Paul continues preaching until dawn. And I think that's just a phenomenal story that not only highlights the power of God in the church, but it also highlights that the church took preaching and took the word of God seriously. Because the people were willing to sit and listen to Paul preach from the word for hours. Do we have that kind of endurance today? But the church has always valued preaching. And so this morning we're going to be talking about preaching sermons and why sermons are important for the church. Last week we talked about singing. This morning we're talking about preaching. And here's the fundamental thing that I want to make sure or make clear for you guys about preaching. And that's this. What preaching does is it allows us to understand and apply God's unchanging word in our ever-changing world. Preaching allows us to understand and apply God's unchanging word in our ever-changing world. Because the world around us is changing. It's constantly moving and shifting. It could be the values of our culture or the realities of our lives. It could be a move. It could be a new job, whatever it might be. But things around us are always changing and shifting. But the word of God is constant. It never changes. And so there are constant truths in Scripture that always stay the same. And so week after week, we gather together to hear from God's word and to see what is God's word saying to us right now. In 2023, in the middle of political turmoil, in the middle of shifting cultural values, in the middle of economic uncertainty, in the middle of illness or whatever else might be going on, we gather together and we say, what does the timeless word of God have to say to us right now, today, in 2023, or whenever it is that we're meeting? That's what the church has always done when we gather together for worship and to hear from God's word. And so I want to flesh that out a little bit more as we go on this morning. There's a couple of points that I want to make for you about preaching and how that allows us to hear from God's timeless word in the time that we're living in. And so there's four realities of preaching that I want to share with you this morning. And as you listen to this, as we have this conversation this morning, I really hope that not just today, but every week as we come in to worship together and to hear from the word, whether it be here at Mountain View or with some other church body, my hope is that we will come in and approach the sermon and not only ask, am I going to learn something new today? Now, don't get me wrong, I hope that you will learn something new from the word of God. We're going to talk about the depths of what Scripture has for us. I hope you do learn something new. But the question I want you to ask as you come in is, God, how do you want to transform me this week and next week? God, what is your Holy Spirit going to lay on my heart? What do you want to change about the way that I am living? And so my hope is that we come in this week and next week and every week after that with open minds and soft hearts saying, okay, God, how do you want to change me? And what principles do you have in your unchanging world that are speaking to my life, or your unchanging word that are speaking to my life in this ever-changing world? Now let's look at a few of these principles that I think are going to help us understand what our mindset should be as we prepare to hear a sermon week after week. And the first principle is that God's word has endless wisdom. God's word has endless wisdom. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, there's a passage here that kind of applies to this that I want to share with you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this in Matthew 13, verse 52. He said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So this is an amazing thing about this unchangeable world, word of God, because we can read the same passage 10, 50, 100, 1,000 times, and you might notice something different each time you read it because of the depths of the wisdom and knowledge that are contained within the pages of God's word. It's infinite. Now, quick side note here. Here's what I'm not saying. What we want to be careful about is if somebody gets up and says, "Okay, I've got something new for you. Here's a new doctrine of the Trinity. Here's a new doctrine of salvation. Here's a new doctrine of whatever it might be of the person of Jesus." We want to be careful if somebody comes up and says, "Here's some brand new doctrine that nobody else has taught of before," because we have this great history and that can be how cults are formed. So we want to be careful. But what we do want to do is understand that there are unchanging truths in the Word of God, and that every time I read a passage, whether it be Philippians or Colossians or Genesis, there are realities of God's Word that are new to me. And they can speak to me in ways that they never have before. And the same is true for you. And so even if we were to preach the same book of the Bible over and over and over 15 times in a row, our prayer is that because of the infinite depths of the Word of God, every single time we're going to learn something new from God's Word. And I'll always remember back to my Bible study methods class when I was at Multnomah, working on my bachelor's degree. We had a one semester class, and we spent the whole semester studying the book of Jonah. Now, I'd grown up in the church. I knew the story of Jonah pretty well. I was very familiar with it. It's a short book. It's only 4 chapters. And so I'm going into this class thinking, okay, well, I already have Jonah at least 70% of the way down. This is going to be a cinch. Over the course of that semester, every week I was learning something new. And there's another truth, and there's another principle, and there's another application, and understanding more and more and more about the book of Jonah. And over the course of that class, and even to this day, I've never gotten to the point where I can say, "That's it, mastered it. I've learned everything there is in the book of Jonah." And the point is, you cannot exhaust the depths or the riches of God's word. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this to Timothy, looking at verses 14 through 17. "But you continue in the things you learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul's saying to Timothy that the word of God that you've been given has given you wisdom for salvation. You've known it since you were a baby, since you were a child, but I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep learning. I want you to keep studying. Root yourself in the word of God so that you can see it transform your heart. And so part of why we preach, again, is because every week we come in and we trust that God's word has something new to say to us. Maybe we've read the same passage 1,000 times. Even if we've had it 1,000 times, there's always some new treasure to pull out from the storehouse of God's word. But as we hear from God's word, it's not just the wisdom of God's word that's inexhaustible. But secondly, we see that the Holy Spirit is always speaking. And what I mean by that is that as we hear from the Word of God, we find that the Holy Spirit is always, always, always talking to us, prompting our hearts, convicting us. There could be 2, 3, 4, 100, 1,000 people or more in a room. And the beautiful thing is, as we hear God's Word, the Holy Spirit can be speaking to us individually, nudging us all in different ways, revealing to us different things or convicting us of different things. It could be the same passage. It could be the same topic. It could be the 100th time. But even as we hear it over and over and over again, it could be because of how the Holy Spirit is moving, something new clicks in your heart and in your mind. Now, I don't know if you have examples from your childhood of advice that maybe your parents gave to you that, you know, you didn't really care about much then, but somehow it lodged its way in your heart and into your mind. And as you grew up and matured and became an adult, it like a time bomb just suddenly became relevant and real and applicable. You know, one of the things I remember as a kid, at the family dinner table, we'd be eating and, you know, maybe myself sometimes or one of my siblings would get a bigger slice of pizza or a larger portion of dessert or a little extra mac and cheese or whatever it might be. And the rest of us would say, oh, that's not fair, right? That's not fair. And we'd throw this big fit about it. And my dad would always say, well, guys, life's not fair. And the sooner you figure that out, the better off you're going to be. And I remember hating that as a kid, right? I remember that would just make me so mad. But as an adult, that's hit me in a new way, right? I realized that my dad is absolutely right. Life is not always fair. Things are not always equitable. And if I allow that to lead me to anger or to bitterness, I'm just going to be an angry and bitter person. But I had to be at a place in my life where I was ready to understand that reality. And, you know, some people, I could cite our youth group for this, have asked me or wondered, why do we always preach the gospel? You know, every week that you're talking about the cross, you're talking about the gospel. And I'm going to share it again with you this morning. It's this. It's the shared history we talked about last week, right? It's creation, fall, redemption, and kingdom. We are part of creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by a creator God who loves us and wants a personal relationship with us. We're all part of the fall. Adam and Eve sinned. They ate the fruit. And since then, sin has entered the world and it has cursed every generation that has come since, including each and every one of us. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But there's redemption. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to as a solution for our brokenness, humbling himself, coming to earth as a human baby, living a perfect life, one that we could never live, and then laying that perfect life down as a sacrifice for us so that our sins could be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And kingdom. We believe that Jesus is coming again and that he is going to reign for all eternity and we will be with him. And so we talk about that every single week, the sacrifice of Jesus, the sufficiency of his sacrifice to pay our debt, to reconcile us to right relationship with God the Father, and that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, will be forgiven. If you believe that he rose from the grave, you will be given that gift of eternal life. We share that message every single week, and we say, we want you to believe in Jesus. We want you to have that relationship with Jesus if you haven't already. And I've been asked before, why do we say that every week? We already know that. We understand that. We've already given our lives to Jesus. But we know that there are men and women in this room who have been coming to church week after week after week. They've heard this message before. But until the Holy Spirit has worked in their hearts, they're not ready to believe, but today might be the day, right? Today might be the day where the Holy Spirit moves and they respond and they trust in Jesus. Today might be the day. They could have heard the message 100,000 times before, but today might be the day when they respond to that movement of God. Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Part of what we do week in and week out is we hold the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We put it out there because we believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking. And today might be the day that somebody responds to that movement of God for the first time. And they stand up and they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we also talk about the gospel every week for those who do trust in Jesus, for those who already believe in Jesus, because there might be truths, there might be principles, there might be applications from the Word of God that even though you've heard it hundreds of times, you might hear it differently and you might respond differently and the Holy Spirit might convict you of something new. Maybe your heart is finally right to receive God's word in a new way. The book of Isaiah talks about this. If you look at Isaiah chapter 55, we see in verses 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what pleases me and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. In other words, God is saying, I'm always watering the ground. I'm always watering the hearts and minds of the men and women who are hearing the word of God, and it will always accomplish what I intend for it to accomplish. Now, I don't know when it's going to bear fruit. I don't know how it's going to bear fruit. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But we know that God is working and that he will accomplish what he intends to do. How many of you water your lawns? Anybody water your lawns? If you do, you understand that you can't just move in, water your lawn once, and expect that, okay, you're going to be good, it's going to be green for the life of the house, right? It doesn't even do that for the summer. You have to water frequently. It's got to be 3, 4, maybe even 5 times a week, right? You want it to rain frequently as well because the ground is always needing that rain. But every time that rain falls, it does God's work. And God said, that's what my word is. And so we believe that preaching God's word will always bear fruit as the Holy Spirit moves. And the beauty is that preaching of God's word bears fruit regardless of the worthiness of the messenger. There are some phenomenal preachers living in our world today, and over the centuries and millennia, there have been some incredible individuals who are highly skilled speakers and preachers. But it isn't their skill, it isn't their strength, it isn't their ability or their intelligence that produces fruit, it is the Spirit of God. With enough study, with enough knowledge, with enough skill, with enough practice, anybody can preach a good sermon. But to preach a great sermon requires the work of the Holy Spirit. And the goal is that the Holy Spirit goes forth and speaks to each person, and it works within us, and it makes us mature individually and corporately. Colossians 1, chapter 28, chapter 1, verse 28, says this: Him we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. This is what God's word does. The Holy Spirit is always working, often in ways that we don't recognize or ways that we don't understand. But the riches of God's word are inexhaustible. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. And thirdly, we preach because the world is always changing. You know, we live in a world today on September 10, 2023, that is drastically different from the world we were living in on June 2nd, or December 26th, or January of 2020, right? The world changes so rapidly. The world's changed significantly in just the 32 years that I've been alive. There are issues now that our high schoolers and middle schoolers are dealing with that I wouldn't have even imagined. There's this whole social media online dynamic that was a non-factor when I was in middle school, high school, right? I grew up with AOL, Instant Messenger, and MySpace, and I was told this morning that, you know, Bob Bernard's like, I did my thesis on a typewriter. So we've all got our different, but the point is the world changes so quickly. The world we're living in today, I couldn't have imagined as a high schooler. I couldn't imagine the things that we've gone through in the last 3 or 4 years. There's been a pandemic, all sorts of political turmoil and economic uncertainty that either I haven't experienced or at least been aware of in my lifetime. But through all of that, God and his word are timeless. God's word is timeless, and it speaks to whatever cultural context we find ourselves in, whatever situation or place or position in life we find ourselves in. The timeless word of God speaks into that. And so the job of the preacher and the job of the congregation is to both listen and preach the word of God and constantly ask the question, what is this saying to me today? What is the principle, what is the truth that the timeless word of God is saying to me today? Paul talks about this again to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So notice what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, things are going to change. People are going to change. Culture is going to change. People are going to start rejecting truth. The culture around you is going to be shifting. What used to be thought of as good will be thought of as evil. What used to be thought of as true will one day be thought of as false. The world is going to change. But notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, Timothy, you need to find a cooler message. He doesn't say, Timothy, you need to go preach a better gospel. No, he says, Timothy, keep your head. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. When it's convenient and when it's not, you keep doing the same thing, Timothy, week in, month out, year in, year out, through the centuries and through the millennia. The word of God will not change, even as the world changes. And your task is to gather week after week with the people of Jesus Christ and proclaim truth, the timeless truth, the unchanging truth of God's word in the midst of a rapidly changing world. You know, we get stressed, we get anxious when the world changes. We get stressed when we change jobs, when we move, when culture shifts, when there's a new person in the White House or whatever it might be. We get stressed about change. But one of the greatest things about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it speaks into every situation. It speaks into every context. It speaks into every culture, every generation, every moment of our lives. And so part of what we get to do when we gather together every week is say, wherever we are, that the word of God has something to say to us. And so as a youth pastor, when I approach Sunday nights and our gatherings with the youth group, I'm always praying that as I bring the word of God, that I will speak truth, that the Holy Spirit will be speaking, that I'll be aware of and sensitive to the needs of our students. And I pray for their families as well. But I pray specifically that the Holy Spirit will bear the word of God on their hearts and in their minds. That he would give them hope and peace and bring them courage and convict them and help them to grow into godly young men and women who are in the image of Jesus Christ. And I pray the same thing for our whole church body when we gather together on Sunday mornings. But that's why we gather together, to hear from God's word. So we see that the word of God is inexhaustible. It's a timeless truth. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. The world is always changing. And finally, fourthly, we are always forgetting. We're always forgetting. We have brain leakage week to week. You know, I read a while back that most people, a week after a sermon or a week after a lecture, will only remember about 10% of what was said. And within 24 hours of a sermon or lecture, you're only going to remember about 50%. Of what was said. And so the reality is that for many of us, by the time we get home this morning, we're going to have forgotten a pretty good chunk of what was said. Now, on one hand, I could allow myself to get depressed by that, or I could simply realize that this is a part of our human condition, right? We're all this way. It's a reality of our human condition. If it wasn't a reality of our human condition, we wouldn't have to gather every week. Right? We could gather once, hear the truth of God's word, get that gospel message locked in, and say, I'm good. I've got it. But because we forget, we gather every week to remember, to remind ourselves of the good news. Jesus was alive that last week. Jesus is alive today. He's going to be alive and reigning next week. God is still on his throne. He was on his throne last week. He's going to be on his throne next week. I need to remember that. You need to remember that. That's why we preach every week. That's why we gather every week to hear from God's word. That's why we listen to God's word. Because I want you to remember that Jesus is on his throne. And that Jesus is coming back. But when we go from here, the anxiety, the stress, those things come into our lives and it causes that truth to slip from our minds. And so by the time Thursday rolls around, we're like, but wait, there's been this new natural disaster. There's been this new thing going on in DC. There's been this thing that happened at work, whatever it is. There's been sickness. There's been turmoil. And we're sitting there freaking out. And by the time we come back in on Sunday, we get to hear somebody say, no. Remember, Jesus is sitting on his throne. Jesus is reigning. He was reigning last week. He's reigning today. He's going to be reigning next week. Then we go away and we forget, but then we come back and somebody says, no, sin has been defeated. Jesus has won. We're going to reign with him for eternity. That's why we gather every week, every month, week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, I fully expect that you aren't going to remember any single message that I preach. I don't expect our students to remember any single message that I preach, but my hope and my prayer is that we will remember those core concepts, those principles, those things that we talk about again and again and again, that we will remember the mission of the church, that we will remember the truth of the gospel message, and we will remember the hope of Christ's return. We say these things over and over and over again because we need to hear them over and over again because we're always forgetting. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been strengthened in the truth which is present with you. You know, this is a concept that didn't really take hold for me until about my last year working on my undergrad at Multnomah. Because before this concept clicked, I remember I'm taking all these Bible classes, I'm learning from these awesome professors, and then I'm sitting in church with Stephanie on Sunday morning hearing our pastor preach, thinking, oh yeah, I talked about that in this class, and oh yeah, okay, I learned that in this class, and oh yeah, I'd heard that principle before, learned it, check, got it, heard that before. But now, God's worked in my heart. He's changed me. And so when I approach a sermon, I pray, God, I need you to remind me, not just my mind, but my heart. I need you to remind me so that your spirit can transform me, so that you can move in my life. And again, this is what preaching ideally does. It allows us to apply God's unchangeable word in our ever-changing world. And so I want to close our time with you this morning by just sharing a few thoughts, a few ideas about maybe how we could apply this, how we could help this to better stick in our minds and sink deeper into our hearts, how we can make the most of our time together on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or whenever it might be. So here's just a few ideas. And the first one is pray that God would speak to you. Whether it's in the morning when you get up, whether it's in the car as you're driving in, as you're having breakfast with the family before you go, or even while we're singing before the sermon, pray. Ask God, God, would you speak to my heart? God, would you help me to have an open mind for you to speak? Not to learn only in my mind, but Lord, to be soft-hearted, to know that your spirit is moving and that there are areas in my life that need to change. And then not to get defensive, not to get angry, not to close off our minds when we get convicted. Secondly, I'd encourage you to take notes. You know, take notes. There's something about using our bodies and our minds at the same time that really helps things stick on a deeper level. And so I'm going to go old school here. I know there's a place for notes on a tablet or on a phone, but if you have a pen and a sheet of paper, as you're writing those things out, that muscle memory really helps things to stick deeper into our mind. And then not only that, but you have a physical record of what you learned on any given week that you can look back to or that you could reference in the future. And then the third and final idea I had here was to follow through with application. So if you're taking notes, just jot down one or two things that you could apply from a message or a passage over the coming days or weeks or months. You know, it could be as simple as I'm going to read the Word of God more consistently. It could be as simple as saying, you know, every morning when I get up, I'm going to start my day with prayer. Or it could be something like, you know, I'm going to allow myself time to pause before I speak and let the Holy Spirit work in my heart and help me to respond to somebody rather than just reacting in my flesh. But I would encourage you to follow through with whatever the Holy Spirit is convicting you of. Seek accountability, seek change as a result of hearing the Word of God. So come in ready to hear, ready for the Holy Spirit to speak. And as you leave, say, okay, God, I've heard from your Word. Now I want you to transform my life by the power of your Word and the power of your Holy Spirit. That's the value of preaching. That's the value of hearing from God's Word. It's allowing the unchanging word of God to change us. Week in, week out, step by step, day by day, we want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ as we hear from his word and as we respond. That's our prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for the gift that your word is. We thank you for the treasure trove of truths and principles that you have for us in this book. God, we thank you that it's true, that it's inerrant and infallible. God, that in all seasons of life, in every situation or cultural context we find ourselves in, we know that your word speaks to us. And so, Lord, when we get stressed out, when we become anxious, when we become overwhelmed, we know that there's a truth that we can turn to, that we can grab onto at any moment. Thank you, God, for giving us such a tangible and simple means of knowing what you have for us and what you're calling us to. God, would we take your word seriously? Would we desire not only to read it and to know more and to understand, but God, that would our desire be for you to move in our lives as a result of hearing it, that we would be changed, that we'd be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, Paul tells us that when we are in Christ, we are made a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. But God, that's sometimes a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's like a sculptor working on a statue. God, it takes times. So Lord, would you continue chiseling and chipping away at our hearts and our lives, shaping us into the image of your Son. Lord, we love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.